Thank you for giving Learn Love a try. Episode 2 focuses completely on the question, how can I love the people already in my life? Episode 1 asked 10 questions and set up a general framework of why don't we learn about love the way we do about all other subjects. Episode 2 now is answering a specific part and going into learning more about how can I love the people already in my life. If you made it to the end of my first episode, the example I gave, or the scenario I pictured, was you attending your own funeral. And you're there, and all the people you love are there. And the question is, how many people do you want to come to your funeral? That's up to you. And the main thing that influences that is how you love the people that are already in your life. The easiest place to start working on learning love and being loving is loving the people already in your life. And I pray you have at least one person that loves you in your life. And I would guess everyone has at least one person that loves them in their life, whether that's your mom or your dad, your brother, your sister, your best friend, your girlfriend or boyfriend, your dog. I guess that's an animal that loves you in your life. Everyone, I would pray, all of you have at least one person or one pet that loves you. The easiest way to get started learning love is to love the people and pets that already love you. Think of it this way. If you like metaphors, one bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Or how about this one? Six beers in the fridge is worth way more than 12 beers at the store. What you already have is a lot easier to focus on loving than trying to find something new. And very often, finding something new, if you're always going to the store trying to buy more beer, when are you going to get a chance to drink the beer you have at home? I guess a lot of you might say, well, that doesn't sound like a bad problem to have. If you're never home to drink the beer you already have, it doesn't matter how many beers you go buy out at the store, unless you drink them in the store in the parking lot. Anyway, let's move on to love. If you love the people that are at home with you, and you love your pets, and you love your friends, that's a lot easier place to start focusing on loving more than it is to try and find someone new to love. And I would argue, if you can't love the people close to you, it's going to be very hard to love the people that are potentially out there to be the perfect person for you. So the key question is, how can I love the people already in my life? You've shared why I should love them, now how to start. I was able to love the people more in my life by simply thinking about them more often. I always was told I was selfish and self-centered growing up, and I'm sure a lot of us are selfish and self-centered growing up. I didn't really get what that meant, though. I took for granted I think about myself all the time. That's what I do. Especially when I was like 18, 20, 25, all I did all day was think about what I want. What do I want to do? What would I like to do? How much did I enjoy what I did? What did I do the other day? That was great. What would I like to do tomorrow? My thoughts were centered on me, 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 me. If I happened to think about anyone else, it was usually out of simple convenience. If I'm hanging out with you, then I might consider thinking about you a little bit. Oh, what would you like to eat? What would you like to play? Where would you like to go? But generally, when you weren't around, then I wouldn't think about you. That was how I functioned until 2009 when I was 25 years old. I generally took the people in my life for granted. Now, I wouldn't say I was the worst son or, the worst in a relationship, but I generally thought about myself most of the time. Unless I was with you or talking with you, then I would be more considerate. But if you weren't around, well, I didn't think about you. So when my parents lived 500 miles away in Mississippi, you could say the main times I thought about them were when I was on the phone. My dad was the closest person that I felt, he was the person I felt loved the most by and that I cared the most for. I felt like he really understood me, and if I needed to talk to him about something, if I had something bad happen, if I had something great happen, I always wanted to tell my dad about it. I also had friends, and I still am fortunate to have m most of the same friends that I cared about a lot as well. If you look at just simplicity, though, the number one person on earth that I loved the most was my dad. I thought about my dad almost exclusively when he called, or maybe another time or two a week. I never wondered what my dad was doing or what my dad needed or what might happen to my dad or anything like that. Or very often I would be a jerk on the phone and then I would think, well, how that impacted dad. But when I was nice and when I was a good son, I very rarely thought about, how is dad feeling? What is going on with him today? And sure, he didn't need me to be, hovering over him all the time. But considering that was the person I loved the most, you'd think I would think about him a little bit more often. I got thoughtful gifts, and I was an acceptable, maybe I was a good son, but I wasn't a great son. Well, I got a bit of a wake-up call in 2009 when Dad had his chest pains and went to the hospital. And I realized, holy shit, I have the only person, the number one person I love in my life. I hardly think about, I hardly see. I usually would only see my parents a few times a year, maybe two or three times a year for a few days. I'm like, he could have died right now, and I would be out here just in the world alone. I have my mom, I love my mom, and that was another thing. I didn't think of my mom hardly at all. I focused on my dad and I should have been thinking about mom and dad together. I wasn't thinking about my family, but when I looked at the possibility of losing my family, then I could see, whoa, this is what I should be focusing on. This is what I'm doing wrong. This is what I should be doing right. And it didn't take long for me to get a wake-up call. Even though I was thinking about myself, my whole life just fell apart after that. I tried stubbornly to hold on to thinking about myself, and I tried to dive deeper into thinking about myself. And what ended up happening was I just wrecked the whole life I had around me. And then I did what I should have done to begin with, is I moved home with my parents. I hadn't seen my parents or the two people that loved me the most. I hadn't hardly seen, spent any time with them, got to know them. I hadn't devoted any energy to loving my parents, any significant amount of energy in my adult life to loving my parents. I moved home with my parents. Oddly enough, before that, I had never had a great relationship either. It was as if the love I was able and was willing to give to my parents was my threshold for the love I could give any girl I tried to date. I moved home with my parents, and I set out to be a better son. I applied to grad school. I spent every night, all right, almost every night, probably 95 out of, or probably 95 plus percent of the nights I lived there. I talked with them every day. I ate dinner with them every night. I watched at least an hour of TV with my dad every night. And most nights, I would watch something with my mom also. I put time and energy into loving my parents. I thought about them every day. I gave love, and I was there with them. And in developing and learning again how to love and live a life of love, when I moved out a year later, I mean, my parents didn't, I mean, my life was such a disaster. They told me to move home with them. They didn't plan on it being a permanent arrangement. They wanted to kind of help me get back on my feet, build me back up after I had broken and smashed myself down. They wanted to help and work and love me and build me back up and send me out again, fixed. And that's what happened. But it all I would have had to do is think more about them to begin with. And I would have been able to love more. I would have made different decisions. I would have moved home with them sooner for a little while when it was more convenient. All I had to do was think about my parents. And once I got in the habit of thinking about my parents, the whole rest of my life worked around that. I had love in my life every day. I thought about my parents every day. I called them more often. I got more considerate and thoughtful gifts for them. And only 5 months after I moved out from living with my parents, I ended up meeting my wife. Now, if you look at how I dated pretty much constantly, with an exception of a year and a half relationship when I was in a senior in college, I dated almost constantly as much as I could before that. And I never found, what are the odds of 5 months after I move out from my parents, I then find my wife? And I'm able to love her like I had never been able to love anyone else before. That's not a coincidence. That is loving the people around me gave me the ability to love someone new. So the key is, we want to get into how to really do this. Because I've explained a lot of ideas, I've shared my story, and I'm sure all of you that don't live with your parents or your parents aren't around, you don't have the option or the desire to just move home with your parents. Well, you don't have to move home with your parents. That's just what I did. Like I said in the first episode, a lot of what I've done is a bit haphazard. I certainly didn't plan it that way. That's just what happened. You can make a little bit better plan. You can make it a little bit smoother. You can do it with this simple 3-step process. First, you think about them. This is where you begin, one thought at a time, about one person at a time, and whenever you can, one action at a time. For example, a friend sends you a text message. You haven't hung out with them in a while. You find yourself saying, I'll respond to that later. I need to hang out with them. I don't have time right now. All right, let's change that. What if something happened to this friend? Now, this is assuming this is a friend you genuinely like. You know, and I'm not saying an acquaintance or something. I'm saying a friend, someone you've been friends with a long time, that if they were no longer in your life, you would be sad. A friend like that texts you while you're busy. If you're checking your phone, you're not busy enough to not respond, is my thought. If you've seen, like for example, I'm not checking my text messages while I do this podcast. So if my friend texts me and then I check my phone, then I will work to respond to their text immediately. If you have the chance to think about someone else, do what you would want done to you, instead of doing whatever's convenient for you. Say you're cooking dinner. If you went and checked your phone and you see a text message, and you see it's from your friend or your brother or your sister, think about them for a minute. They took the time to send you that message. Send them a message back. If someone that's your friend, if your friend took the time to call you, give them a call back. There's no point in saying, I need to, or I will in the future, or I'd like to, or someday I want to. Just give them a call back. Just do it. Just do it. One thought at a time, one person at a time, one action at a time. That's how you love people. It's not what you see in the movies with these grand gestures at the airport or great, ridiculous heroics. Love is one thought, one action, with one person at a time, done every day. Or every other day. But frequently. Love is more about consistent all the time. I like it, my friends often say, Jerry, why does my wife, well, they don't ask it like that. I guess they should say, what they say is, you know, man, my wife wants me to, she wants to fall in love with me all over again every day. You know, I got her flowers last week. We went and saw a movie on Wednesday. Why do I have to do something every day? You know, it's like I give her something and it's just the next day. It doesn't even matter. It's like she wakes up and it's a whole new day. You know, it doesn't matter what I did yesterday. Why? Why is it like that? Why can't I just do something on Monday and I'm good for the rest of the week? That's not how love works, because that's not how life works. We are an everyday kind of being. It's a right here, right now kind of world, for better or worse, and it hurts sometimes. If you want to be loving and be loved, it usually takes a little bit of love every day. One thought about someone is all it takes. Just think about them. You know, think about what they might want or what you could do for them. Sometimes there is no immediate action to take. You know, like right now, I know I want to buy presents for Christmas for my nephews. But I know that I'm going to do that in the future. So I've made plans. The action I'm taking now, I've made plans that when I get my Christmas presents, I will get who I will get them for, and I'll get them all at once. It's a little too early to order right now. But at least make plans, and then stick to those plans. But the simple version is, you begin loving the people in your life just by thinking about them. And the more you think about other people and what they're doing and what they want and what they need, you will continue to grow the relationships you have around you. Like, I went to Publix yesterday. I went shopping for a lot of groceries. I mean, actually it was Monday. A whole lot of groceries. And I got deli meat for myself. But I also, the one flavor I got, I thought, what would Laura like? You know, what kind of deli meat would she prefer? I got one for me, and then I got another one that I thought she would like. And I made her a sandwich out of it this morning. That's not like a grand gesture. It's not, but just me getting up this morning, making her a sandwich with deli meat that I had thought of that she might like before, I mean, it's considerate. And I try and do several things like that every single day. Just a little small thing to say, hey, I love you today. And the best part is, she does the same back with me. And it's a very healthy and loving thing. And I work to do that in all of my relationships. With friends and family, if you don't live with them, it often is a little less frequent. I would say the timetable is once a week or once a month at the absolute most. If you can think of someone and take some kind of action, maybe once a month, whether it's a text, a phone call, a Facebook post, a message, if you can think of someone that's your friend or your family, at least once a month, but preferably once a week, then you have the chance to make the most out of that relationship. So the first step is to begin with thoughts. The second step, which I jumped a little ahead into, was how to grow. How do you build on thoughts? Once you think about other people, then how do you build up to the point of taking more actions and being more loving with them? What you have to do is keep them in your mind. Keep thinking about them. And here's a couple of simple ways to keep people in your mind. First is listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. And I mean really listen. Most importantly, you want to focus on things they say they need or they care about. For example, if your friend's complaining, or your mom, your brother, sister, your girlfriend, boyfriend, your child is complaining, mom, dad, girlfriend, boyfriend, I had a really crappy day at work today, and I wish I had recorded an episode of, Ancient Aliens or whatever. They didn't take the time and they forgot to do that. Well, how hard is it for you to set that up real quick for them? Or even simpler things like that. They say, oh, I love all these rescue animals. I'd love to get one someday. What if you take the time, look a few of them up, or ask them a little bit more once they've expounded on that? My mom was looking to get a new dog, and I just kept thinking about, how could I help my mom? She's in a tough situation. My dad is terminally ill. He's got just too many things to go through, and he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. And mom is a vet, and she always has obviously loved animals, but before, when her and dad got together, she had dogs and cats. But when they moved, mom was in the army, when we moved overseas to Japan, she had to get rid of our dog. Well, she gave it away. I mean, or at least that's what they tell me. They never got another dog because dad always said he didn't want to have to pick up after a dog because mom had her career and dad said, well, I'll be picking up after the dog all the time, so we're not having a dog because I know you won't pick up after it. Which, is reasonable given the situation. Well, dad's terminally ill now, and mom was saying she wanted to get a dog when dad wasn't around. The problem is, though, it can take a while. She was having a hard time getting a dog. Or not getting a dog as much, but she's looking at dogs and it was looking like it'd probably be months after something happened to dad before she could actually get the dog in the house with her. So I kept thinking about this over and I just kept, I'm like, what can I do to fix this? How can I help? What can I do to solve this problem for mom? How can I use what I have in my life to solve this problem? At the same time, my wife consistently was looking at these rescue labs from the shelter we adopted our last puppy from. She kept saying, I want to have all the dogs, and I love the dogs, and they're so adorable. And it finally, I connected the two. I'm like, well, we have two dogs already. Why don't we rescue a dog for mom? We'll keep the dog for mom until she needs it. and then we will give mom the dog. We will have the dog immediately for mom as soon as she needs it. So then I asked my wife, and I asked mom, you know, how does this plan sound to you? And now dad, we went and got the dog, and dad calls it the dead dad dog. I'm like, dad, that's absolutely horrible. And I mean, it's funny, but it's, you know, it's for mom to have some company after you're not there, you know, it's dead dad dog. Anyway, you know, that's how you grow the love you have with people. You listen to what they need. My point is, if I hadn't learned consistently more about love, if this had happened, God forbid, when I was younger, I would have never been this considerate, because I wasn't in the habit. I hadn't put the time and energy into really listening what the people that loved me needed. I wouldn't have thought so much about how I could do something helpful. You know, and it's so easy to think about, well, I can't do anything for dad to make his health better. You know, I can't go live at home again with mom. You know, it's easy to think about what you can't do. If you listen to what people want, and then you think about what you can do, think about what you can offer them, you know, even if it's not ideal, at least it's the gesture. You know, if you can offer anything to help, is better than nothing, and people appreciate that. And the thing is, people will usually, if you're loving the right people, and that usually you are loving the right people, they will give back the love that you give them. So you grow your love by giving the things they need to them. Once you grow, now it's a three-step. Once you begin, so you begin by thinking. You grow by listening and taking action based on what you hear. How do you maintain? You know, getting mom this dog is not going to mean that she loves me the rest of my life. I mean, she will love me the rest of my life because she's my mother and she's a great person. It doesn't mean, though, that that's all I ever have to do again when it comes to loving my mom. When it comes to maintaining a relationship, you have to keep doing what you're doing. You have to keep those good habits in place. You have to always take action instead of saying you should or you need to or you will. You have to keep doing it right over and over and over and over again. So once you begin and you grow, you have to keep doing it. It's like a marathon. If you want to run I've never ran a marathon. I've ran 8 or 9 miles at once. I've never ran a marathon. But fine, to get up to 9 miles, I didn't run 9 miles to begin with. I started off by running 1 mile, then 2 miles, then 3 miles, and then 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5. I worked up to 9 miles. Once you get to 9 miles, or once you get to whatever pace you set, whenever you get to where you're happy with, you got to keep going. You have to keep doing what you did to get there. And even if that doesn't mean I don't run as much as I did before, it was hard on my knees and my ankles, but I do work out 3 or 4 times a week now, consistently. And I keep doing what I did to get in better shape before. Love is the exact same way. It's like a muscle, and I know I've heard that before. You have to keep working it in order to keep it in shape. So for me in my life, that means I have to keep doing the same things I've told you that I know worked well. I'm giving more love now and expanding more now. This is a part of continuing and growing, and you have to keep doing that. You know, I made my wife a sandwich this morning, and The best way I can show her I love her is to walk the dogs with her, watch an episode of whatever we're watching now, I think Entourage, and we're almost done with Sopranos, and then go to bed with her. Very simple things, but to her it winds her day up. It shows her that I love her and that I'm there for her, and she really appreciates that. You know, for every night that I don't do those things with her, you know, it hurts. And you can't have, there's a certain balance of hurt that you're going to, none of your relationships, all right, we're kind of in the notes portion now. None of your relationships are ever going to be absolutely perfect. There's always going to be a certain amount of hurt. You're always going to neglect to do things sometimes. You're never going to be able to maintain an absolute perfect scenario. It's just like with exercising. You might drag ass and take a week off. Or you might, you know, get hurt and be forced to take time off. The key with maintaining is to always keep going once you can. So, say there have been weeks I didn't go to the gym all week. But the next week, then I went back and I kept working out. There have been weeks where I haven't called my parents, or there have been weeks where I had 2 or 3 nights in a row where I didn't get to walk the dogs or watch something with my wife, or I wasn't there to go bed with her. That's acceptable. That's as long as it's in moderation. As long as that's a small amount of the time. And the existing ratios say anywhere from 7 to 1 to 10 to 1, but the amount of good in the relationship should overwhelm the bad. And more often, the easiest solution is to do more good than to minimize the bad. Because you're going to be bad. You're going to be a jerk. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to come home and complain. Or you're going to just pick a fight for no reason. If you can put more good into the relationship, it will wash out the bad. The good is what you really have control over. You can stack good thing and good thing and good thing on top of what you already do. You can build doing more good in. You usually can only cut so much bad out. It's like a steak. And so, or I for vegetarians, I don't know, an onion. You can cut off the outside. You can trim the fat off. You only can trim so much, though. You can't perfectly trim everything. And a lot of times, the more you try to trim, the more good things you will hack off with it. So by maintaining, you want to maintain by doing as much good as possible. As much good as possible. And being accepting that sometimes things are going to go wrong. No matter what relationship, it's your immediate family, extended family, your friends, you know, your close business partners, you're always going to have things go wrong. But as long as you keep throwing more good at it, you will have done your part. Even if the other party decides, you know, if you're with a significant other and they break up with you and won't get back together, well, I wouldn't recommend getting back together. But if they break up with you and you did as much good as you had in your heart, then how can you feel bad? What is there to feel bad about if you did as much good as you could? Are you doing as much good as you can the surface up sometimes? But if you're not doing as much good as you can, why can't you do better? I say you can do better, and I say there's no reason you can't do better. No matter who you are, you can do a little better. I can do better. I'm trying to do better every day. I think we all can do better, and that's the way to maintain a relationship, is just by trying to do just a little better. Just a little better. Every day. A little better every day. A couple of more notes to put this in perspective. There are limits to love and loving. There are some practical limits. For example, the human brain, according to the latest research, is wired for about 150 people. If you're trying to be great friends and if you're trying to give your love, you know, one-on-one directly to and keep more than 150 people in mind, you do risk pushing that limit and dropping people out unintentionally. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, just as long as you recognize for most people, you only can choose, you can only love so many people. Think of it like a fridge. You can only put so much stuff in your fridge. And the more you cram stuff in your fridge, the harder it is to get to any one thing in there. So if you can kind of keep your life neatly organized with people that love you in it, that you pay attention to and that you can easily access, you know, that can be a successful approach. If you like to just have chaos, you know, then keep as many people in your life as you can. But and you can love each of them. You can love each person during the time you spend with them and when you're not with them by thinking about them. And the final point, make sure the people you love are not taking you for granted and they are giving back to you. Usually, this will work itself out. If you keep giving good back to you and people aren't responding to it, then you're not likely to just continue giving good out blindly. But this works both ways. Lots of times, some of the easiest relationships to neglect are some of those closest to you. And when you think they're taking me for granted, the reality might be you're taking them for granted. If you're looking at one of your family members or friends and saying, you know, I don't think they appreciate me, the second question you should ask is, well, how do they know? What are you doing to show them you appreciate them? How can you show them you appreciate them more? Most people are very quid pro quo at a base level. If you give them something, most people will give that back. I had a great example with my business recently. One of my best clients is from Canada, and I took the time to email him, and I've been sharing his Facebook page with everyone that I think might be interested to give him the opportunity to make something out of that. So my clients might be interested in doing business with him. Well, I had been doing this, but I didn't tell him I was doing that. And then I realized, like, well, you know, in case someone messages him or something, I should let him know, you know, the kind of clients I have are the kind of people that are liable to like what you have to offer. And I just sent him a quick email. I said, hey, you know, I appreciate your business. I want to know, you know, how things are going. You know, it's been a few months since I completed the work he had me do. I'm like, I hope things are well, and I just want to let you know that I'm working out here. I'm trying to get someone else to do business, you know, one of my clients to get in the door with you. I hadn't heard from him in a couple of months. And he, within a week from that original email, he took the time to talk to one of his good friends about me, and he put me in touch with one of his good friends that can use my online advertising services. So the idea is, if you give, the easiest way to get in life is to give, and just give freely. Just give. You don't expect anything in return. And sure, you're not going to get things in return lots of times. Like, I give out a lot of my best information for totally free. Anyone in the world can watch it on YouTube. I don't get paid out of that. What I get a lot of enthusiasm. I get response. I get positive energy back at me, which gives me more positive energy to do more positive things, and it just builds on itself. So make sure You're giving to the people around you. And if you think maybe they're taking me for granted, well, that's the first question. Well, am I giving to them all that I could be? So, in summary, this episode began with how can I love the people already in my life? And the simple answer is you think about them more often, you listen to them, and then you take action based on listening to what they need and how you can help them. I really appreciate your time listening to this, and I hope this has been helpful. Thank you so much.